Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Creepy Shit Podcast. I'm your host, Star. Every week, we're digging into real hauntings, paranormal encounters that'll make your skin crawl, and true crime cases that prove reality is way scarier than fiction. This is where we sit down, like the creepy weirdos we are, and unpack the darkest, most disturbing stories out there. And here's the thing. We're probably going to use some sarcasm and humor to get through some of this heavy stuff, because if we don't laugh, we'll definitely cry. So settle in and let's get to it, because sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. This is Creepy Shit Podcast. Happy Halloween, witches! What is even happening right now? Two bonus episodes in the same week? Boo. It's Halloween. Of course, I'm going to give you extra treats. That's what it's all about, right? So today is going to be a really fantastic episode because we are diving into one of our first ever series yet again, which is our listener tales. So many of you have reached out, shared stories with me, and no joke, I literally swoon for this kind of stuff. I'm so obsessed, and some of these stories that you have shared are just so unhinged, but I love it. I'm here for it, and I cannot wait to share this with you. So, fun fact, through this spooky season, there have actually been a lot of firsts on the show. We've had our first vanishing episode, which was so awesome. We've had multiple guests on the show this spooky season for the very first time, which has been so cool. And even today, in our listener tales, I have a very special friend who agreed to come on to the show. Her name is Heather, and you're going to hear all about her real spooky happenings. So here's what I've got lined up for you today. We're going to start with a couple of sent in DMs, emails from you guys out there, my fellow listeners. And then I'm going to share Heather's story with you. And trust me, you're not going to want to miss this on what she has to say, because it's absolutely chilling. So grab your favorite bevy, cozy up, and let's do this. Okay, so this first story comes to me from a DM by a follower named Sharon Jack. And thank you so much for sharing this story. I am so excited. It starts with, when I was 20, I lived in a house with my cousin who was a fireman. He would stay the night at the fire station every couple of days, and I was basically alone. I worked as a merchandiser for a local company and had to wake up really early on weekends so I would finish work and then come home and nap for an hour or so on the weekends. One Sunday, my sister said she wanted to borrow something. I told her to text when she got there and I'd unlock the door, or our cousin would let her in if he was there and home. I closed my bedroom door for a nap, and I didn't lock it in case my sister would show up. During my nap, I kept hearing a scream from a distance. So I sat up to listen for it, but it stopped. So I went back to sleep. No sooner than I closed my eyes, the scream was back, but this time it was like right in my face. I could feel the breath or whatever it was screaming at me, and it was not letting up. I opened my eyes and jerked up to see if my face hit it or if I was just imagining. Nothing was there. So I got up, I looked around my room, opened the door, peeked out, still nothing. So I closed the door and I went back to sleep. Oh, girl, you are so brave. I don't know if I could do that. And then the screaming returned, and I started swatting at the sound. But this time, something grabbed my ankles and started pulling me off the bed. I started trying to kick and squirm, and it just got tighter and tighter. I grabbed the top of the bed, hoping I wouldn't be pulled off the bed completely. Oh my gosh, I am so out on this. Like, oh my gosh, how would you like totally not freak out? I started yelling for help. Yeah, rightfully so. And my cousin came to the door. He must have come home while I was asleep. He started giggling. Oh, sorry, jiggling, not giggling, jiggling the door handle, saying, "I can't get in, it's locked." He ran to get something to open it and starting to think, yeah, I don't blame you. She was starting to feel like she was going to die. So he, when he came back, he got the door open and then everything stopped. I curled myself into a ball on the bed, praying it wouldn't come back. When I finally sat up, I realized my door had never been opened. My door was locked, which I knew I didn't do. And I heard the garage door open and close, and then the door from the garage to the house open and close, and my cousin set his keys on the kitchen table. I stood up and I went to the door. My bed had been pulled halfway off the box frame, and my ankles hurt so bad. I went to the kitchen and I told my cousin about what literally just happened, and he looked at me like I was crazy. He told me he had just got home and was there at all since Friday night. But when he saw my ankles, he gasped. He was like, "Dude, look. Your legs have handprints around them." Or excuse me, "Your legs have, yeah, have handprints around them. Whoa. And look at your ear. It's got blood all over it. I imagined it was from the high-pitched scream. I never had the experience again, but I never felt easy or comfortable in that bedroom again." Girl, yeah, absolutely not. That sounds absolutely horrifying. So I moved to a different room and I kept that door closed at all times. I moved out shortly after, but my cousin had a roommate later that said they experienced weird feelings of extreme anxiety and anger when they stayed in that room. Holy crap. Holy crap. That is intense. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story, Sharon. That is super awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Now, our next tale comes from an email and also from a really good fellow podcasting friend. You might know them, you might not. And if you don't, then you should totally go check out their podcast after you're done with this one. And that is from Macabre Mondays, which is hosted by a lovely married duo by the name of Allie and Tom. And this story comes from Allie, and I am so excited to read this. So this is really good. She starts with, "I've had really strange and unexplained moments in life that have stuck with me, but nothing quite like this. I was sleeping over at my ex's house one night, and at the time, he had a chameleon. And for the sake of the story, we're going to call him Pedro. The ex, not the chameleon." I fucking love you. All right. "One thing you should know about chameleons is that they need lamps for different nutrients, yada, yada. So at night, that meant he needed a red UV light. Now, yes, picture that, a dark room with only a red light on illuminating the room. You can imagine it looks as spooky as I'm saying it. Anyways, the night is going normal and we head to sleep. I randomly wake up in the middle of the night and open my eyes like, great, just another night of waking up randomly, right? And I thought nothing of it. From my point of view, I am laying on the bed on the left and Pedro is on the right closest to the door. The bedroom was big and the door into the room was on the corner across from the room by Pedro. I think about just going back to sleep until out of nowhere, I see Pedro walk into the room saying, "Oh, great, you're up." And I start thinking, wait, if that's Pedro, then who the fuck am I sleeping next to? Oh, my God. Right. Okay. Oh, God. The old switcheroo. Not cool. Okay. Now, mind you, this is all happening quickly. Pedro is walking inside the room dressed practically in the same sleep clothes Pedro, who I'm sleeping next to, was wearing going to bed. So Pedro starts walking towards me saying how he's glad I was awake. And the craziest part was that there was this insane strong energy to him. It felt really bad, but it also felt so good. It's hard for me to describe it. As he's walking towards me, he gets on top of me and starts laying inside my body. And as he's doing that, he is saying things like, "Oh yeah, let me get comfortable and let me move a little this way." Okay, this is starting to sound a little kinky, but I don't think that's what's exactly happening here. All I know is in this moment, that was no joke, all happening within like under a minute. So it was all crazy fast. And it was the closer he got, the stronger the energy was. I felt like I had to push him off, but I also kind of didn't. It was so strange. The minute he laid in my body, that's when the energy felt even stronger. That I could feel the energy in my ears. Oh my gosh. That's when I started getting freaked out. Like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, totally. I'm with you. I'm already there with you. And in that moment, when I felt like I had to get up, I hear the most demonic voice whispering in my left ear, "Aw, don't tell me you're scared." In that moment, I tried so hard to move and say something, and I couldn't. I was trying to call Pedro for help, but even with all my might, all that was coming out of me was heavy breathing and the slight fingertip movement. But I just kept telling myself to keep trying, and then I woke up. In the same room, in the same position, in the same spot, like nothing that I had just witnessed had even happened. I woke Pedro frantic because I don't know what the fuck just happened. And that is when I learned about sleep paralysis. I went on a deep dive that night because no way in hell was I going to be able to go back to sleep after that. Yeah, girl, I don't blame you. And I found so many other forums of people who have had sleep paralysis and also learned that it is a thing that demons or lost souls can try to take over your body. So in reality, sort of, what the movie Insidious is about. Needless to say, after that night, I was terrified to go to sleep late. I remember I asked Pedro the next few days to not go to sleep until I went to sleep first to see if he saw me in any distress to wake me up immediately. 2 days later, I actually was starting to feel the same feeling that I felt that night before bed, which was the way that I was drifting into sleep. It's weird because I can tell if something is going to happen based on how I fall asleep. My body feels like it's being taken by a deep sleep current, and it's different that I can differentiate it from normal sleep nights. I find it hard to fight myself to move and open my eyes, even though I haven't fully fallen asleep yet. In those moments, I have to fight so hard to not give into the feeling because it doesn't feel really good. Exactly what you would think it feels when someone says they have drifted into a deep sleep.
Anyways, 2 days later, I noticed I was doing that. And before I knew it, I was in it again. I opened my eyes and the lights were still on, and I immediately said, nope, and closed my eyes and tried to move. Thankfully, I woke up before anything happened. Oh, no kidding. Like, how awful. For a while after that, I cleansed myself often. Oh, God, yeah, I'd be seriously, I would be burning sage like 25 ocho, and also would go to sleep with a sleeping mask on. I figured as long as I couldn't see it, it would at least take the fear away. Even if I did hear something, at least I couldn't see it, and I could immediately realize and try to wake up. Since then, I have not experienced sleep paralysis quite like that, and I hope it doesn't ever happen again, because it has stuck with me since. Oh, totally. Like, oh my gosh, that is seriously terrifying. I'm so glad that you're okay and like not possessed. I'll definitely say that. And wow, that is like seriously intense. I have actually never experienced sleep paralysis, but I do remember the most terrifying dream I ever had. And it was, I honest to goodness, it is a dream that the only person that knows about it is my husband. And honestly, it is a dream that I'll probably take to my grave, because it was just horrific. But needless to say, Ollie, I'm so glad that you are okay. Like, seriously, so glad. And definitely, again, if you have not listened to Macabre Mondays, you should totally go check them out, because they are absolutely amazing. I so love them. All right. Thank you so much for sending that in. I so appreciate it. All right. This next one comes from Amy Renee. And no joke, this is probably so far, I absolutely love this one. So this is, honestly, it's kind of sweet. And this just had to come into this episode. And I feel strongly, sorry, I'm getting a little congested here. I feel strongly that this story needs to be told a lot, because it's really good. All right. In 2013, my hubby fell in love with a set of dishes at a flea market. Did we need them? Absolutely not. But alas, his nostalgia could not be denied. At this point in my life, I still blocked my spiritual abilities due to childhood experiences that terrified me. So fast forward to the case of the BOGO dishes. BOGO what, you ask? Buy one set of old dishes, get an attached little old granny. Oh my gosh, I love this so much. This is so sweet. Okay. While discussing this potential purchase at the flea market, I knew something was amiss, but I was so blocked in my abilities, I had no idea of the dishes, if it was the dishes or just being overwhelmed in the flea market. We purchase the dishes, get home, put them in the top cabinet to only be used for special occasions. For the next few months, I would occasionally feel like someone was watching me from the kitchen. I don't like that feeling of being watched. I so understand, Amy. Oh my gosh. We lived in a tiny apartment, so I could feel the stare from anywhere, even if the door was closed. It didn't take much to freak me out in those days, so I avoided looking in the kitchen like my life depended on it, as I was sure my sanity did at this point. Now, to the morning, I wish I had been wearing the brown pants, or maybe I was. My clothing was the least on my mind. To set the scene, if you are standing at the front door, the kitchen is directly to the left, with the light switch on the kitchen side and an arm's reach from the door. It was super dark in the apartment after I turned off the light, which meant I was facing the kitchen. As soon as I turned off the light, I was face to face with this 5'1" gray hair in a bun with wispy pieces framing her face, house dress wearing little old lady with her hands crossed and laying on the edge of the kitchen counter. She was so close, my purse was inches from touching her. My hubby was asleep, so I internally screamed while trying not to shit my pants and and setting a record pace to get the fuck out of there. My horror movie moment flashed before my eyes. Would I drop to my knees trying to lock the door and Granny reach through the door to drape me back inside? Thankfully, no. I also survived scurrying down the flight of steps without falling to my death. During the next few years, I slowly embraced my abilities and we finally moved into a house. I learned to welcome and talk to Granny when she pops in occasionally to request that we use her dishes. In recent years, she pops in occasionally, Oh my gosh, I lost my place. I'm so sorry, guys. Okay, she pops in to say hi and, of course, to use her darn dishes. As of 2025, hubby has not yet deemed any occasion special enough to use Granny's dishes. Oh, I love that, though. 2 months ago, I finally unwrapped a single mug, which is sitting opposite of the kitchen table to me as I type. It's too small for a coffee mug, so I have been pondering using it in some way as part of my spiritual work. Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that so much. Granny seems very Christian to me, but I also feel a hidden side she was unable to probably express during her life. So far, she hasn't popped in to object to any of my intentions. Is sending this story my sign? Would Granny be honored for me to use her mug as part of my spiritual practice? Until I do incorporate the mug, enjoy these pics of said mug. And she did send them to me. They are so awesome and they're so perfectly Granny. And I don't know. I feel like absolutely. I think even if you get the feeling that Granny was Christian, I think it would be awesome and it might be a good way to converse with her. You never know. She might be really lonely. And the fact that you love her dishes, I love her dishes like already. Like I so would be like, oh my gosh, I would love to have a little spot of tea with Granny's dishes. That would be the best. So I love that. Thank you so much, Amy, for sending that in. Super good story. I love that story. All right. So without further ado, I am going to drop in the conversation I had with my good friend Heather, and we are going to get to that right now. Enjoy. All right, fellow creepers, let's welcome Heather to the Creepy Shit Podcast. Hey, Heather, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Peachy keen, jelly bean. Thanks so much for being here. I'm so excited. You are like the first official guest to the show. So like, super exciting. And of course, you know, we've got like personal contact with each other because we know each other and we work with each other. So I'm super stoked on that. But so let's just kind of kick things off. Like, here's what I want to know. Were you always as like kid and was into the ghost stories and like horror movies? Did you used to be a skeptic before all the crazy stuff started happening for you? Like, where did it all take place and how did it all begin?
I have always loved everything creepy, everything ghosty. My friends and I would go like, I don't know. We would kind of scare ourselves in a way, you know, when we were kids, go out and do stuff. We would try to go look at like the, you know, like how every town like has like, oh, like this, like we had Spook Hill where I grew up. So we would like want to go there and like see what happened and just do all the things. And we would go to all those creepy locations and, you know, we would always do that and tell ghost stories and all the things. That's been a thing for my whole life.
So now I have to know about the local legend with Spook Hill. What is Spook Hill?
Oh my gosh. I don't think there was actually like a legend. It was just supposed to be this place that was haunted or whatnot. But
oh, yep. Nope. I totally can relate. We used to have one that was like called the Ratchet Man. And that was like a big thing. And it was like, it was such a bunch of bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like in no way, shape, or form. But it would always be told at just the right amount of time in the night, like around a campfire, that would be just enough to make you be creeped out, kind of.
Yep. Just hear like a little snap of a twig or something and send you into panic.
Yep. Yeah. You're like, okay, I gotta go, bye. So when did you first realize, or maybe were you dealing with something that couldn't be explained away? Like, did you ever have like an oh shit moment?
When I was younger, I don't know if I would say that. I do think that the first house that I lived in, we lived in a different town, and then I moved starting in third grade, and we lived in this one house for a few years. And I don't know why we thought it was haunted. I don't remember anything specific other than like just maybe like it was an older house, so like maybe just like hearing the house settle or something. But it always felt weird. Like, you know how sometimes it just doesn't feel right? And that house just didn't feel right. And nothing necessarily happened there. But once we moved, I didn't ever have that feeling again. So I'm like, there was something about that house, you know?
Yeah, like the vibe. Yeah, there's always an energy.
Yeah, there was always some kind of weirdness there. But nothing really happened. I don't know that I would really say that I had any actual experiences until my adult life. But I still always believed it.
See,
so I was never really skeptical.
That's so cool. And I love that because it's so interesting how you can like open yourself up more as an adult, because you're like as a kid, you're always open, right?
Right.
Like, they always tend to be more susceptible to being able. That's why they have imaginary friends and all that kind of stuff. Like, did you ever have an imaginary friend? No. Okay.
I did not.
Like, and then coming into it and now being more open to it, I think that's so cool because so often, a lot of times, it's the other way around.
Right.
So, like, I dig that. Okay, hang on. I lost my questions. Please hold. So, what is one of the first actual things that you encountered that was either spooky or scary? Tell me that story.
Other than just feelings and stuff, I don't think anything really happened until I think probably I didn't start having actual experiences until I met my husband.
Okay.
So I mean, I would have, like I said, like feelings, like you would feel weird in a place and like stuff would feel off and you could pick up on that stuff. But I remember the first thing that happened with him, he lived in Milwaukee when I met him downtown. And I remember one night I was staying at his house. I had an apartment like in Waukesha. So I was staying at his house for a night. And I remember he woke up in the middle of the night and he was like, there's somebody here. And I thought he meant like someone broke in because we were in downtown Milwaukee. And I just assumed that's what he meant. And I'm like, okay, what do we do? And he like just like I just like was kind of sat up like right in bed and like I just like stared at him and he just like sat there and like he was just kind of like he just kept laying down, but he just kept like looking around with his eyes. And I'm like, what? Like, hello? Like, what are we doing here? And all of a sudden I see him do the sign of the cross and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on?
Right.
Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. And he would just like sat there and like he like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden it felt like a long time. It was probably only like 30, 45 seconds or something. But then all of a sudden he was like, okay, it's cool. It's gone. And I'm like, and then he just like, all right. He's like turned over like to go back to sleep. I'm like, excuse me, sir. Like, please explain what just happened here.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go back to sleep. So I'm like, what is happening? Like, should we go to my apartment? Like, what's going on? Like, it was the middle of the night. And then he's like, no, it's fine. It's gone. It's gone. It was just something passing through. It's gone. I'm like, okay. I don't love that.
Don't love that. Yeah.
Don't love that.
Now, through the course of your relationship with him and everything, was he like, did he ever come forward and say like that he was a believer or anything like that?
Yes, because like the house that we ended up living in, that I have had pretty much all of my experiences. And oh my God, I'm sorry if you heard that. My daughter is gross.
That's okay.
Good Lord.
The more raw, the better.
the house that we ended up living in used to be his grandparents' house. His grandparents' farmhouse. And he had a lot of experiences there when he was younger, when he was, and his brothers too. Like his brother, his oldest brother, actually, until I had the house remodeled, he wouldn't, there were certain rooms that his brother wouldn't even go into because he was still freaked out from his childhood.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he's always been. He was always a believer. He was always very sensitive, obviously, with, you know, with that experience from just waking up. But yeah, he was always a believer, always very sensitive.
Wow.
To it. So, and he has cousins that are native. So he's kind of connected with them in a way, like where they'll like share experiences that they've had, like on their reservation and just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Anything that rings a bell that you can share?
I know that, I don't know if it happened to one of his cousins, but I know that they've talked about people like seeing things in the wood. Like there's a lot of talk of like shapeshifters on the reservation and stuff like that. And just like stories like that, that I can recall.
Right on. Oh, yeah. That is so gnarly. Like, honestly. Yeah.
It'd be cool to look into stuff on the reservation because I've just remember hearing so many different like,
and that's
folklore
the
type things.
Us, right?
Yes.
Like here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, and I'm always wondering, because I'm getting more and more acclimated with paranormal researching and stuff like that. I'm always curious as to like who is the best people to reach out to on that? Who are you willing to talk about it?
That's the thing, being willing to.
Because sometimes there are historical societies who are like super cool and will totally open up and have a conversation. And then there are some that are like, click, bye. Like, you know, yeah. And it's like, shit. Put in the door, you know? So if you can, I know there is the dream that you told me. And that dream is so goosebumpy.
Yes. Like, it's crazy.
It is really crazy. So would you be willing to tell that story in its entirety? Because it is
For sure.
Remarkable.
Yeah. So this happened. We weren't married yet. Definitely didn't have any kids yet. I can't remember if it was like right in the beginning of our relationship or before he met me. I don't remember exactly when, but I know it was before we were married with kids. But he had a dream one night that, and the dream itself just sounds so basic, but, so he had a dream that he said he could just see, like he was watching him, like he was watching himself from behind. So he was watching himself and a woman who, had like kind of like chin to shoulder length, like lighter hair. They were walking down this road. There was cornfields on both sides. And the woman was holding hands with a little boy who he said he thought was maybe like 4 or 5. And then he was holding a little girl who was a little bit younger than the little boy. And as they walked, the corn on both sides died as they passed it. And he said that that was like, he's had several other dreams that he has told me about that were weird. And like a dream before his grandma passed away. Like he knew that his grandma was going to pass away because of a dream that he had like shortly before. And, but he always said, he's like, that dream always like just stuck out to him. It just, for whatever reason, gave him like, just, it really disturbed him. And what's interesting is that my two kids are literally 20 months apart. So, and my daughter's younger, so she's just a little bit younger than my son. And they were 5 and 3 when he died. age. So the ages, like, oh. I feel like it was like he knew that something
was gonna happen,
was going like... to happen. Because even a month before his accident, my grandma passed away.
Okay.
And my family is from Indiana, so I had to go down to Indiana for the funeral. I had made that trip so many times, countless times that I had gone down there. But when I left, I was just taking my daughter with me. When I was leaving, I remember I almost didn't go because of how he was acting. He
really?
Was like, you could tell he was crying. He was like, it was like he was very nervous for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then a month later was when his accident was. So I think that he knew something bad was going to happen, but he didn't know who it was going to happen to, or, you know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like the closer he got to when his accident was, the more like anxious he got about stuff like that.
Wow, that is just fascinating. It sounds like he seriously had a gift.
He really did.
Like, seriously, he totally had a gift. Mm-hmm. And that is so incredible. Like, and I'm curious, and I hope this isn't too morbid to ask, but since his passing, have you felt any, like, connectedness or any ways of, like, communication with him?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's so incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the night that he died, I was laying there. I couldn't sleep, obviously. I was like, so like, whatever. Like, eyes swollen, raw. Like, I could not. Like, I just was like laying there. And I had like my hand kind of like up like this, like next to my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt my hand get just like super ice cold. So I felt like, and like immediately I just kind of assumed that he
was there.
Grabbed my hand.
Yeah.
But then that night I had a dream that he was just kind of like, he like, was sitting next to me. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. This sucks for you. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. And so the whole thing was that his accident, like, I know that it was like instantaneous.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have time to react. So he probably did not know what was going on.
Okay.
And I know one of his cousins who is sensitive, she was at the hospital with us and she said that she saw him there and he was just standing there like with his shoulders up, like arms out, like, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Oh,
and she didn't tell me that until after, but it was like I had the dream that he was doing the exact same thing.
Oh my God.
So just super weird. And even the night before his funeral, I had a dream that he was sitting there like, I'm just really sorry that you have to deal with this. This really sucks for you. And I, in my dream, like, I kept hearing this like beeping noise and I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh my God, it's your alarm. You need to get up.
Oh.
And I woke up and it, because I'm like the queen of the snooze button and I set like
early. Oh, yes.
So, and he was like, you know, he was annoyed with me in my dream. Like, he is annoyed with me still in the afterlife. Like, you need to get up. That's your alarm. Like, get up and get ready. So, but yeah, I mean, I've had a few dreams.
That's incredible.
With him. Like, that's how, like, Well, I do remember another time. It was the morning of our wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it was him because I don't know why else this would have happened. But my phone just randomly started blasting. It was like a Motown song.
Okay.
At like 3 in the morning, like some crazy time, like some random ass time in the morning. And my phone just started. Yes. And it just started blasting. Like, it was on Pandora. Like, I hadn't even used that app in forever. And it just started playing this random song. Like, it's just like weird little things, like things going missing and reappearing at the most random of spots that I never would have left it in. Just really weird stuff like that.
And was the Motown, I'm just curious, was the Motown song associated with anything like in your wedding or anything like that? Or was it just
like, nope, just a random song. I did have one of the other dreams I did have, though. I remember, like, I would write in this journal every night. Like, my friend got me this journal. She's like, just write to him every night in your journal before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that. And, like, so he was a big dude. He was, like, 6'2", 250 pounds. Like, he was a big guy.
Yes. And pictures. And, like, yeah, he was a tall guy.
Yes, he was big, like, big teddy bear, and gave, like, the best hugs. Like, just big, meaty, you know, big, meaty hugs. And one night I was like, I just really miss your hugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a dream that I was in, I don't know, I was in like a basement or something. And out in the doorway, like out of the room, like around the corner, I could see like this flickering like green light.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk out and it's like all these little like, it looks like little sparks, like little green sparks, like just all over. And they like kind of like come together and start forming like a figure.
Okay.
And it was like, I want to say it formed from like the head down, because I could see like it started to form him, and I could see like his face first. And like, it was like he was impatient for the rest of his body to form. And like, you could see, like, you know, like in your face, you're like, come on, come on, come on,
right? Like, let's go.
And yeah, like, and I could see that expression in his face. And then like, as soon as he was formed, he like ran at me and like gave me like a really big hug.
Oh.
And then I woke up, and I always sleep with the TV on. When I woke up, the song that I walked down the aisle to was playing.
Oh my god.
And it wasn't like a big, like, it wasn't a common song that you would just hear on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, that was super weird too.
That is. And what's the song, if you don't mind my asking?
It was Have a Little Faith in Me by John Hyatt.
Oh, I love that song too. That's a great song.
Yeah. And not one that would just be playing.
Yeah. That's not just
in the middle of the night when we wake up,
you know?
Right. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. Wow. And the fact that, like, and this is why, like, this is where I become such a hopeless romantic. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, see, love conquers all. And it will last for eternity if it's real.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Like, and so real. Like, that's just absolutely amazing. Like, wow.
Wow.
So cool.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I lost my footing. Please hold. Like, I just love these stories, and I'm so grateful that you're, like, willing to share, because they are truly remarkable.
I just love them. I think they're fun.
They are. They're incredible, and it's so, like, it's so amazing. There was also recently released that I saw, but it was talking about the quantum physics of everything and how they are further diving in and finding more and more proof of what is considered to be the other side.
Right.
And I'm like, that is just so amazing. I'm like, I've always believed in the fact that they're somehow figuring out and navigating ways to show proof of it.
Right.
Is really impressive to me. It's always something that I'm like, kind of,
and probably a little bit more credible than Zach Bagans or
like, it's all fun and that's great, like, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's like, okay, you have cameras, you have hype, you have editing software, like,
right,
you know, like, you can enhance some things to be versus, and that's always the hard part too, because I don't know about you, but when I'm looking through online and I'm like, and I'm like, Reddit stories, or I'm going through like different, like, footage of haunted videos
and it's like
oh, it's fake. It's fake as fuck. Like, why? Like, it ruined it for me, you know? So just to hear your stories, those are the ones that I feel like when they happen to you, those are always the more authentic ones, because they're not overly done. They're like genuine and real, and it's just super cool. I love having you as the very first guest on the show, and I'm so grateful to you. So, if anyone has any questions or anything like that, you could, of course, reach out to me on Creepy Shit Podcast, and I can direct them to Heather. And I'm sure she'll be happy to answer any questions. So,
but
other than that, thank you for coming and being part of this. I so appreciate it. And
with that, and that
gratitude and everything, I hope you guys stay creepy. And remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest.
Bye. Bye.
All right, there you have it. That is our listener's tale episode. This was our very first one. I just happened to notice, when I did a playback on this, that there might be a little bit of a kickback or feedback on it. So I do apologize, and I hope that it does work out and it didn't maybe carry over for you guys. But if it did, I do apologize. If you love today's episode, I would greatly appreciate it if you would just take 120 seconds, leave a 5-star review, share this with a friend. That is how we get into more ears out there and can build this Creepy Crew community. I love you guys. You mean the world to me. If you want to take our friendship to the next level, please go ahead and follow me over at Instagram at creepy_shit_podcast, and also on TikTok at creepyhoststar. And guess what? If you have a listener's tale or a request that you would like to have me research for the show, what have you, please go ahead and send me an official email over at creepyshitpodcastofficial@gmail.com. And hopefully we can get that story or that request or share that tale on the show here. So that would be super cool. And until next week, remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Bye.
It's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.